This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant, dynamic guest. We're joined today by Dr. Elizabeth Roshan. Dr. Roshan is also a nurse by background. She serves as the president and CEO of the National Perinatal Information Center. Dr. Roshan has talked a lot about how health systems today, in an effort to cut costs, are closing in certain areas labor and delivery units. And we know that as a country, our stats on maternal and child care and childbirth are just absolutely horrendous. And when you add on to this, the closing of labor and delivery units, we're accelerating a problem that's already a debacle in our nation. Dr. Roshan, I wanted to get your perspective on this, what could be done about it. And we see this day to day, the closing of units. You've pointed out the Becker's Healthcare reports on hospitals closing these units. We don't editorialize it one way or the other than that hospitals are closing these units to save cost. But tell us why this is such a debacle and what can be done about it.
Yeah, no, Scott, thank you so much for having me today. I really do appreciate it. And so what I thought I would just share first is, you know, many individuals out there may not necessarily know what the National Perinatal Information Center is. So I thought I'd give a little bit of background so that there is a better understanding once we dive into this discussion that we are a trusted leader in this space. So the National Perinatal Information Center is a nationally recognized data analytics company and team whose sole mission is to support member hospitals and serve as a trusted data partner for improving inpatient, maternal, and newborn outcomes. So we closely review severe maternal morbidity and mortality with our member hospitals and support hospital teams in their goal to recognize and to respond to data trends in their outcome. So for example, severe hypertension continues to drive postpartum readmissions, as well as serves as a factor in the rate of cesarean births throughout our database. So with an average of 350,000 maternal and 375,000 neonatal discharges per year, we have a very robust data set to explore outcomes and the factors that are associated with those outcomes. We have also tracked linked mother-baby data for over 20 years and continue to see that hypertension is one of the common factors related to NICU admissions. But now to really get into what, you know, your question was about this. So one of the most disturbing trends we are following is the rate of hospital closures in rural and urban areas. The continued exit of hospitals from small communities leads to longer travel times for pregnant women, including for both routine prenatal care, which is so important, as well as delivery. And when you think about it, childbirth is the most common admission diagnosis throughout the United States, and 45% of those deliveries are covered by Medicaid. We all know that Medicaid reimbursement is woefully low and in fact pales in comparison to Medicare reimbursement. So we say that we are prioritizing maternal health, but quite frankly, our funding would prove otherwise. So we are very concerned about this continuing trend. We are very uncomfortable with the growing maternity care deserts, and now this is truly a clear and present patient safety risk to our communities.
And what could be done about it? What should be done about it? What could be done about it? Because it does seem like just a true debacle, quite frankly.
So there are obviously some challenges amongst this paradigm. First of all, we know that Medicaid reimbursement rates can be different per state. And so, you know, these different state reimbursement rates, the amount that's paid to the hospital or per case can be very different in the state that you may be in. So really looking at how these closures are occurring, what I would also like to make sure that we're thinking about is, are the communities involved in these closure decisions? And that's something that that I personally would like to track a lot more closely. When these closures are occurring, you know, who within the community is being notified? Is the city council aware of this? Are the town council aware of this? Are those who are most impacted by this decision having any input in this decision-making process? And, you know, certainly I get that these are budget, you know, these are budgetary decisions. These can sometimes be system decisions. But quite frankly, I think that we are missing an opportunity to be able to leverage the voices of those most impacted by these decisions and ensuring that they understand what the impact is going to be to them and to their families in the event that a hospital is closed. So I think in some ways, to answer your question, not only do we need Medicaid reform related to delivery, you know, pregnancy and delivery reimbursement rates, but we also need to have much more timely and involved and intentional conversations before hospitals are closed so that communities understand the impact and any essential needs they may have during a pregnancy.
Thank you very, very much. And what is your sense? I mean, this does look like a bit of an avalanche or hurricane or whatever phrase you want to look like, or maybe a trickling hurricane of places closing the labor and delivery units. How does this get reversed? In addition to funding, are there enough OB-GYNs in the country, particularly in some of these rural areas? How do we deal with some of these issues?
So there's a number of factors that play in some states, some states have tremendous challenges in that regard. And it can be from a number of factors. It can be from the ability, you know, for example, if you are a solo OBGYN and there may be one or two of you covering for a hospital, that's not a lot of downtime you have and a tremendous amount of responsibility. The other challenge becomes hospitals that have few deliveries. It is expensive to keep a team together, to keep a team on standby, to be able to really understand what the education requirements are, competency requirements are for keeping a team in place, you know, for these low volume hospitals. In some ways, there may be opportunities to consider, should there be additional reimbursement or additional coverage related to that readiness and the ability to respond to deliveries in a particular hospital or area. One thing to also consider and think about is when we talk about labor and delivery units in a hospital, you know, we always say we would never close an emergency room in a small community because it's so necessary. But when you think about it, labor and delivery is a microcosm of a hospital. And I say that because, you know, for a perinatal delivery system, you basically have an emergency room, you have triage, you have your inpatient stay for your delivery. If necessary, the ability to provide intensive care during the delivery, because at that point, you really should be one-on-one with your patient, both obstetrician and nurse. You also have, if you have operating rooms that you're running, you have an OR suite, you have a PACU. So in truth, you know, and then you obviously have postpartum units and you could have a newborn nursery. So you really are a microcosm of a hospital. And to say that you can't close your emergency room, quite frankly, you can't close your labor and delivery unit as it is. It is in fact an emergency setting for those who are giving birth and need immediate treatment for a potential complication.
Thank you very, very much. How can people help at addressing this issue? It just seems like it is, as you said, it's already a debacle. How can people help at addressing this issue?
I think that there's a couple of things. Number one, they can become more involved in the decision-making process. They can become more involved in understanding what's at risk for their community. And I think that really having those conversations and assisting hospitals to have those conversations and being an advocate for those conversations when a hospital is considering closing their labor and delivery suites and the other encompassing programs that go along with it, I really think there needs to be more intentional conversation. Quite frankly, our chambers of commerce, when they understand that a hospital is closing their obstetric departments or units, what is their reaction? How are they supporting their local communities and being able to have that conversation? And, you know, really at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's speaking to your legislators, speaking to those who are making decisions. And we often think that the decisions that need to be made are at the federal level. I would say the most important decisions that go on are those decisions that are in your own community. So having an understanding of what's going on in your town council, what's going on in your district, what hospitals are in your district, and you know what's going on with them, being an active, being activated in understanding the dynamics that are going on in your own community can really be essential. And I think that's where physicians, nurses, nurse midwives, midwives, doulas, and others really have an opportunity to really understand their own communities. Sometimes we focus so much on the national picture that we really need to kind of, you know, funnel down into what's happening to our communities and how we can support our hospitals and what the impact is related to these closures.
Thank you very, very much. And then finally, Dr. Roshan, how can people learn more about you and your organization?
Sure. So again, the National Perinatal Information Center is almost 40 years old. And we work with hospitals, patient safety organizations, insurers, and researchers to really support inpatient teams for the best and highest possible outcomes for mothers and newborns. In fact, NPIC is one of the oldest and most established perinatal data centers in the United States. And so we welcome an opportunity to work with those and collaborate with those who are more interested in, you know, really discovering opportunities related to, you know, hospital closures and how we can stifle this continuing exodus of essential healthcare in our small communities and, quite frankly, our urban areas as well.
Thank you very, very much. Dr. Roshan, I think you're bringing attention to this issue is so important. I recognize that Becker's Healthcare, we report regularly on the different hospitals closing this to save money and so forth. Your point on how misguided that can be, at least how bad it can be for communities, is so well taken that we appreciate you joining us so much. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare podcast. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, and do appreciate it.